This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and Upsnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
It is my belief that each one of you is unique. There isn't another one of you on the planet. And no one has the right to tell you you're less than magnificent.
Welcome to the Accidental Guru Radio Show with your host, international speaker, trainer, and author, Dov Barron. The Accidental Guru Show, where fun and practical solutions partner up to get you from under your potential and unleash the leader within you, giving you the best solid success solutions. And now, here's the elite mind strategist himself, Dov Barron.
Each one of you is unique.
Dear listener, thank you for joining us. My name is Dov Barron, and for the next hour, I will be your host here at the Accidental Guru Radio Show. Stay tuned. There's news coming up about the show in the very near future. We're broadcasting out of Seattle and around the world on ContactTalkRadio.com. Or maybe you're joining us out of Chicago on WebTalkRadio.net. And of course, we're also on iTunes. There you can rate the show and you can leave your comments. I want you to know that I sincerely appreciate you letting us know you are loving the show. Yes, you're in the right place. You're tuned in, and we are bringing you the heart and soul of authentic leadership for the soul-driven entrepreneur. Dear listener, I don't know if you've noticed, but being a leader sometimes can be a little wearing. Let's face it, at the end of a hard day of taking responsibility, holding yourself and everyone else accountable, and making sure that everyone is aligned with the vision, when you come to admit it, sometimes you just need to veg. I mean, you just need to chill out a bit. And sometimes that's watching a movie or a documentary or some kind of a TV show. I think by now we've all kind of worked out that reality TV actually isn't real. But then there are other shows where you have to wonder, is it really like that in that world? For example, many people love crime shows, and there are so many. However, when you watch these shows, particularly the ones where there's some agent who is undercover, do you ever wonder if that's what it's really like? You know what I mean? You're watching the show and you can feel the tension building in your own shoulders as it looks like the undercover agent is about to blow their cover. But then, somehow, this agent tells this amazing, elaborate lie and everything continues until they make the big bust. And let's not forget, they take down the bad guys. Well, psychologically speaking, I think that when we watch these shows, there is a part of us that at least at some level fantasizes about doing that kind of thing that they do in those shows. And if that's the case, and you see all the secrets and lies that these TV and movie versions of undercover agents have to carry around, do you ever wonder if you could actually lie that well? Now, at this point, you may be wondering why I'm even speaking about being undercover and having to lie when this is a show that is seen as one of the premium leadership radio shows. Well, let me let you in on a little secret. For many years of working with and mentoring these very high-level leaders, one of the most common things I hear from them is that despite their obvious success and stature, they often feel like a fraud. However, they are called upon to hold this vision of themselves and their organization that may very well be very different than how they feel on the inside. And in many ways, they are undercover in that they feel that they must hide their real selves or their authentic selves. Now, you and I both know that if you are a regular listener to this show, you are aware that I speak about both here actually on the show and internationally on the subject of authentic leadership. And by that, I mean the power, value, and importance of vulnerability and transparency for building trust and generating loyalty. So my question to you is there a part of you that is hiding slash faking it so that you won't get caught, when in fact the only way to not get caught is to be totally open, vulnerable, and transparent? Dear listener, hang on to your seat, because today we are going to be joined by a guest who was not an actor playing an FBI undercover agent. My guest today really was a full-blown FBI agent who worked undercover in counterintelligence and espionage. And in case you're not sure what that means, we're talking about the kind of stuff that you would find in a John le Carré novel. Lorraine Quai was an FBI agent for 24 years. As both a counterintelligence and undercover agent, she exposed foreign spies and recruited them to work with the U.S. government. She went on to become an FBI media spokesperson. Her job was to dig beneath the surface and discover the spy's identity. And in the process, because she was so good at it, she would end up oftentimes knowing more about that person than they did about themselves. Well, after 24 years in the FBI, she retired and went to, wait for it, seminary school. Yes, for 3 years. Lorraine Quai has taken all of that training and experience and turned them into skills that she now teaches to corporate America about leadership in a hostile and unpredictable situations. And with the economic situation being what it is, that seems like a fairly timely subject. Ladies and gentlemen, please now stand and help me give a big accidental guru welcome to a woman who has gone from FBI spy catcher to theological studies in a seminary and gone on to serve corporate America. A crime fighter who is here today to share with us the leadership skills of counterintelligence. Dear listener, now please stand and give a big accidental guru welcome to the real-life version of the character Sydney Bristow in the show Alias, only with no wigs and no disguises, my salubrious guest, Lorraine Quai. Welcome, Lorraine.
Thank you, Doug. That was a beautiful introduction.
Oh, thank you. Well, as always, let me start by thanking you for joining us here in the intimate space. And as it is the intimate space, we'll start off in the tradition of show by getting a little intimate. So, in your opinion, who has defined, because our show is all about authentic leadership, who has defined, and by that I mean, has been a powerful living example of authentic leadership to you?
I think probably I would have to say my parents. Maybe specifically my dad, because he had such an impact on me growing up. And he was who he was. He was a cattle rancher in Wyoming, and he's never tried to be anybody but other than who he is or was. And that has had a tremendous impact on me.
Very cool. I just want to remind you, dear listener, that as you know, now is a great time to get over to Facebook and look at Accidental Guru Community fan page right there on Facebook. Click like, join the page. There you can chat about this or all of our shows, and you can share it with your friends and tell us where you're listening in from. And by the way, in case you didn't know, you can leave your comments and your feedback there and your questions, because Lorraine Quai and I will be available right there on the Accidental Guru Community page directly after the show. As I said, my guest today is Lorraine Quai. She is the author of a book called A Strong Mind. It's available on Amazon right now. And if you want to find out more about Lorraine, you can simply go to www.LarayeQuy.com. Yeah, I'll give it again. Don't worry. www.LarayeQuy.com. Don't worry. I'll give it a couple more times before we end the show. Lorraine, I guess the first question I got to ask, which is probably one you get asked all the time, how did you end up in the FBI? I mean, you know, were you a kid who used to like watching Charlie's Angels or something and just about that kind of stuff? How did you end up? Because we have all these kind of myths about people and how they end up in these programs and these, you know, these departments. Tell us how you got in.
Even though I was born and raised on a cattle ranch in Wyoming, I never shot a gun the entire time. My dad never taught me how to shoot a gun, and I never grew up thinking about carrying a gun or using a weapon or being an FBI agent. Actually, I was at Arizona State University working on my master's degree in organizational communication. And the FBI came on campus and were recruiting. And I thought, sort of as a lark, I would just interview. So I met this guy, and we sat down. And I will have to say, to this day, it wasn't the work or the excitement of the job that attracted me. It was the people. And the first person I met that day was a guy named Denny. And he was on campus talking to people. And as he listened to my story about growing up and my experiences, he actually had, I think, more confidence in me in what I could accomplish in my life than I had. And he gave me just that boost I needed to have the confidence in myself and break beyond this sort of self-limiting belief about what I could do. And I said, yes, I raised my hand and I applied. And 6 months later, I found myself at the FBI Academy in Quantico, Virginia.
Wow. That's... It's not particularly intriguing, as in, you know, like I said, we have all these myths that they come and they search you out. And really, they were just trying to find people, and they found somebody that they thought was a good fit.
Well, you know, I think the fact and the emphasis is truly and still is on people. And I didn't know it when I joined,
no.
But the FBI is really a people business, and I think that is what makes them one of the most preeminent law enforcement agencies in the world. Because they really believe in people, and that they put people first.
That's fascinating. I want to come back to that later in the show. In the intro, I spoke about TV's versions of FBI undercover agents being these brilliant liars. Yet when you and I spoke before the show, you shared something that I believe will be rather shocking to most listeners, and that is that you said that as an undercover FBI agent, authenticity was important in your investigations, and it was vital, in fact. Can you tell us a little bit about why that is? This is something
absolutely
we never think about.
Absolutely. And I will share with your listeners the story that really brought this home for me. It was my first, I had been in the FBI, out of the academy, my first FBI office for maybe 2 months. And I was approached by this guy who was working undercover against organized criminals, kind of an organized gang.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he just needed a date, so to speak, a companion to go with him for this afternoon barbecue with this criminal gang. And he asked if I would go. And, you know, we had this plan. I met with a supervisor and he, and we had this plan about how I would just, you know, try to gather background information and get more personality assessment on these folks. And
right.
He, in turn, was going to try to work his way into this group.
Mm-hmm.
And and build trust.
Right.
And so we got there, and they, you know, greeted us, and the plan was for us to stay together so we could reinforce each other's story.
Right.
Well, at one point, I got up and went to get, it was in Arizona, so I got more sunscreen. It was a barbecue afternoon, and I needed more sunscreen. And I went into this room where they had put my handbag, and there were like two women in there. And they were sort of gathered around my handbag. Of course, I had not brought my true identification. I'd brought a false ID with me.
Sure.
But I walked in, and then I looked behind, and three guys had followed me in, and they closed the door. And so I was in this room with two women and three guys who were mixed up in some way with a criminal gang that were extortionists. They were drug dealers, and they'd even been... We figured they had actually murdered at some point a couple of their competitors.
And this is your first time out?
My first time out. I was in the FBI maybe 2 months.
You've been in the FBI 2 months. Did they supply you with Depends at that point? That's what I want to know. Because it seems to might have needed them at that point.
At this point, I didn't know what to do, and I had not been through any kind of training or whatever. And so I just stood there, and they started talking. Obviously, they were there to try to figure out if I was legitimate. And I think they worried whether I was a federal agent, and the other thing they worried about was whether I was with a competitor gang.
Right.
A rival gang.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I knew at that point I could not be anybody than who I really was.
Right.
If I expected to come out of that situation in one piece. And so when they started asking me about my background, I was honest. I talked about, you know, greasing hay balers in the summer, because that's what I did on the ranch in Wyoming.
Right.
I was who I was. And as they talked to me about why I wanted to leave my home state of Wyoming, I said I just wanted to be something. I wanted my life to be bigger than that and explore things. And I talked about my faith journey. I talked about the fact I love dogs and gardening. I was as honest with them as I possibly could be without giving them my real name. And they understood. And we got along well. We carried on a conversation. And I got out of that room alive because I was authentic with them. I wasn't trying to be some other person. I didn't lie about anything except my name. And to be truthful, you can slap on any name you want,
mm-hmm.
but who you are is who you are. And you can be a leader, you can be a president, you can be a CEO, you can be, you know, a teacher, you can whatever title you want, but you are who you are. My partner, the other undercover agent, though, never picked up on this. And so he was out there pontificating and trying to be somebody he was not. He was going ahead with a plan. And about 2 weeks, we both walked out of that house intact, and we thought we had done a good job. About 2 weeks later, I got information from my colleague's supervisor, the undercover agent's supervisor, that he had been made at barbecue.
Wow.
They didn't think he was a federal agent, but they did think he was a member of a rival gang. And they made plans to kill him.
Wow.
So within hours, that agent was transferred to another city and another assignment. But nobody ever mentioned me. And I truly believe to this day it was because I didn't try to be anybody other than who I was.
That's so cool. You know, we again, you know, when I speak about authentic leadership, and it's about this not hiding piece and just being real with people. I've said for years, I think people can smell inauthenticity. They can smell it when you're faking it. And, you know, what a test of that. And what a testament of how powerful authenticity is for creating, you know, we've said trust. And loyalty, you got trust with these people because you didn't bother to lie. And the cool thing about that is you can never be tripped up.
Well, that's exactly right. That taste of undercover work served me so well because I continued to work undercover for many years afterwards. And one thing I learned from that day was no matter what you know, who I pretended to be, my background and who I was exactly who I am, and that is Lorae Quai. I can use another name, but it will always be who I am, because you're right. People, they can smell. People know when you are being dishonest or not being genuine with them. And I have, and you can't develop relationships with people. And it doesn't matter whether you're undercover or if you're talking to your neighbor or you're trying to, you know, work with a
executive team
or anything, whatever you're trying to do. If you can't build trust with them, you can't go anywhere.
There you got it. Well, we are already at the first part of the show. So we're going to take a break. Dear listener, I am here with my special guest. She served in the FBI for 24 years in counterintelligence as an undercover agent. Her name is Lorae Quai. She has a fabulous book out called A Strong Mind. We're going to be back with Lorae in 2. Stay tuned and keep your pen handy. Got lots of notes for you to take. See you soon.
Listen to this. Unless you want more money. People have all kinds of ridiculous ideas about what it takes to achieve vast amounts of wealth and success. consistently, those ideas are dead wrong. Think about it. What you've been told about creating wealth has likely been from those who did not, do not, or ever likely to have it. In his book, Don't Read This Unless You Want More Money, Dov Barron collapses your old money myths and shows you how to tap into your unique value, even if you don't know what it is yet. As you turn each page of this book, Dov Barron will walk you through a process that will have them banging down your door to give you money. Don't Read This Unless You Want More Money, Subconscious Tactics of the Truly Affluent, is a guaranteed bestseller you'll want to buy for friends and read over and over again. Go to www.don'treadthisbook.com/money and get your copy today.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you, so next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Accidental Guru Show. My name is Dov Barron, and I'm here with my special guest, Lorrae Kwai. She is an ex-FBI undercover agent who worked in counterintelligence, espionage. She is now the author of a book called A Strong Mind, and we're talking about the power of authenticity here and how valuable that is when you're being undercover. And we were saying before the break that you and I watch TV and we see these shows and we think that the greatest agents are the Donnie Brascos who are pretending to be something they're really not. And one of the things that Lorrae just talked about was how powerful it is at building loyalty to just be absolutely honest. And obviously not giving you the right name, but that whole background, being real, showing your vulnerabilities, it's just very, very valuable, whether you're an FBI undercover agent or whether you are dealing with an executive team. So, Lorrae, for a spell here, let's focus on your book, A Strong Mind. Is that okay?
That is fine. It's actually called Secrets of a Strong Mind.
Oh, I apologize. Secrets
of a Strong Mind.
That's all right. I sincerely apologize. Okay, Secrets of a Strong Mind. So, what is the central premise of this book, and why should those of us who regard ourselves as leaders go out and pick it up right away?
I learned that strong minds are flexible enough to act in the moment. And the incident I talked about earlier in the undercover example was about plans and how plans can go awry. Life does not go according to plans.
Mm-hmm.
Relationships with people do not always go according to plans. And so if we're going to exist and survive in today's world, we really need to know how to navigate through the confusion and anxiety that can be created when plans fail. And, you know, it creates adversity. And adversity can come in the shape of personal and career setbacks, grief and loss, new challenges, or periods of transition. These are all things that can happen when plans do not go according to the way we had hoped them to go. And so a strong mind is somebody who can land on their feet when confronted with the unknown.
Oh, okay. Because I guess you have to deal with a lot of that being undercover. You never really know what's going to happen. I mean, you can plan all you like, but you don't get to control other people. So I guess situations can arise.
They certainly do. And one thing I would say, which I learned working undercover, was that what attracted people to me was my honesty.
Mm-hmm.
And the only time I really ran into trouble in my undercover work was when I didn't take the time or make the effort to be authentic.
Yeah, So cool. It's such a great message, and particularly in a context that we would never think of it. Because I've got to tell you that, you know, when I confront these high-level executives and leaders, not just as CEOs, but leaders, and I talk about, look, you need to really show up and be authentic. You know, I should hand them depends, because, like, it's terrifying. Right? For many of them, it's just bloody terrifying, this idea that they've got to be real.
Yes, that's right. And I wonder how many people really know how to dig down and find that bit of authenticity in themselves.
Mm-hmm. We're all so busy building these facades and trying to get ourselves sold to the right people and have everybody like us. As one of my quotes is that we trade our authenticity for approval, and it's a high price.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that was one thing as an FBI agent. My job basically was to pull back layers, peel back layers, until I eventually got to the truth.
Right.
And many times I knew more about the person I was investigating and knew more of their truth than they knew about themselves, because they had never taken the time to really understand who they were. And they were so busy trying to just build layers upon themselves of who they thought they should be or who the world expected them to be. And I would say, you know, what are your personal values? And they'd have to kind of think about that. Whoa, I don't know what my personal values are. Well, how can you know who you are unless you know what you believe and why you believe it?
Right. Yeah, I know that you've probably been, you know, when you have those conversations with those people, you've probably been confronted with things like, wow, nobody's ever asked me that before. I've never thought about that before. And the finish of the conversation is, I feel something, and this is usual, I feel like you know me better than anybody has known me in years. Because those are the comments I get. So I know that you're getting exactly the same things. And I really do believe you're absolutely right. It's because people don't take the time to ask themselves. And and I honestly think that people are waiting. They're begging for that. They're waiting for somebody to step in who actually gives a damn enough, really cares enough to ask them.
I think you're absolutely right. And people are so attracted to somebody who can be honest with them.
Yep.
And about themselves, or about who they are, about them, or about the person you're talking to. And what a compliment to be able to look at somebody and listen to them and really listen.
Yes.
Because I think people leak all kinds of information about who they are. I mean,
absolutely.
They leak information. All you and I have to do is just be an observer. We don't have to be a professional behavioral scientist. We just need to be an observer of human behavior. Our own behavior is the best place to start. We're the best people to practice on ourselves.
Now you're really pushing it, Gil. You're asking people to actually observe their own behavior?
Observe their own behavior, absolutely. I always say, put yourself under surveillance. I mean, that's the first thing we always did as an FBI agent. We would put the subjects of our investigation under surveillance.
Yeah.
And the reason is that you do want to know how they respond. And if something comes up, what is their first reaction?
Yeah.
How do they respond? And once you sort of understand, is it coming from a place of fear or a place of strength? That's what my book gets into. Respond from a place of strength.
Wow.
But that is what we can all do if we simply take the time to get to know ourselves better.
Excellent. Now, again, dear listener, I want to remind you that now is a great time to get yourself over to Facebook and check out the Accidental Guru Community fan page on Facebook. Click like and join the page. There you can chat about this and all of our shows. And remember that after the show, Larae Kwai and I will be there. We'll be available to answer any questions or comments or feedback that you have about today's show. As I said, my guest today is Larae Kwai. She's the author of the book Secrets of a Strong Mind, and it's available on Amazon right now, and you can get it on Kindle. You know, so it's just really available to you. Larae, I'm sure that if you're in the FBI, and this, and I got to say, I've never been in the FBI, so I'm making, as I like to say, I'm making crap up here, and I could be completely wrong, so I'm totally open to that. But I'm sure that if you're in the FBI, there's no real room for openly contradicting that authority, meaning that the rules are the rules, However, did you ever feel, you know, when you were doing all this field work, did you ever feel conflicted? No, for instance, that you had to arrest someone who you saw was just somebody in a bad situation?
I did not. I will confess. Before we ever make an arrest, we have the evidence in hand that we know what's going on. We don't do exploratory type of arrests, and the type of investigations I was involved in, these guys knew what they were doing.
Right.
And, you know, we all have a choice at some point. Who in life has not had a few hard knocks and had things go wrong or plans fail or whatever? But does that mean we have to turn to exploiting other people? And a lot of times when you talk about, there are no such things as victimless crimes, really.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. If somebody could be down on their luck, I feel badly for them. But by and large, almost always, there is somebody that they have exploited or hurt in order to better themselves. So, no, I never really felt conflicted in the people that I was investigating or that I arrested.
Well, the reason I'm asking you is because I have my own personal interest in different subject areas. I'll give you an example, and it may not directly FBI, but just giving you an example. One of the things I'm very interested in, we're going to have a guest on the show coming up, actually, in the next month or so, talking about human trafficking. And very often, you know, instead of the victimizers, the hardcore criminals going to jail, very often it is these young women and even children who are arrested for, you know, sex crimes, when in fact they were sex slaves, and they're the ones who go to jail, and these other, well, I can't find a nice word, these other people they're still free. They've got enough money to still be out there in the world. And that's what I'm talking about when I talk about the conflict of knowing that there's, you know, you're not just in the FBI, but you're part of a system, and there are holes in that system. Do you see what I mean?
I do see what you mean, and the FBI actively works human trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
And I must say, I am not aware of any instance where victims of human trafficking are put in jail. Now, there may be local laws if they are prostitutes, but
mm-hmm.
certainly not if these folks are victims of human trafficking. And let me clarify with that, I'm talking about, I actually have worked on these cases, so I have a little bit of background, but George W. Bush actually signed into law making it a federal crime for Americans to travel to foreign countries for the purpose of what we call, it's called sex tourism, but it's for the sole purpose of going to a foreign country for the purpose of having sex with underage children or somebody held in captivity, which a lot of these, in these brothels they are.
Cool.
They're sold as young girls or boys,
and
they have no way of getting out. And so we actually have a federal law now. It's very hard to prove, but the point being is that the U.S. government, and I can only speak at the federal level, I don't know if it's local, but that we actually work very hard with these foreign governments to arrest the perpetrators, the brothel owners, and rescue the girls, or boys in some cases. And a lot of times, these people are brought to the United States, and if that is the case, then we do. Now, initially, we had a huge case in San Francisco, of which we did round up.
Right.
Gosh, it must have been about 150 victims, or people, women primarily, who are working, who are brought over here for the purpose of sex trafficking. Now, some of them were just working girls, and they found the working conditions over here better.
Right.
Others were victims. They were plucked out of their environment and brought over here with no way of speaking the language, no ID, and absolutely no way of escaping the situation. So I'm fascinated, and good for you that you've got this guest coming on in a couple of weeks or months, because people need to be made aware. It is an issue here in the United States.
Well, I think, you know,
Americans traveling.
Yeah, we're going to be talking a lot about it because slavery is alive, well, and bloated and living in the United States in the form of human trafficking. And I've had many conversations on this, and I've done a lot of research on this, and actually it is true that the victims are prosecuted, but they're prosecuted under immigration law, and that there are now bodies of groups who go out and actually defend them in courts while the people who brought them here, these horrendous criminals who bring them here, actually still wander free. Again, we'll get into the details of another show, but it's a fascinating thing. The reason I asked you is because in our conversations, you know, as I said, we've spoken before the show, you seem to be both very intelligent and a compassionate person. And I'm very politically minded, and with things like the Patriot Act, which I know serves the FBI, and I see where it fits. But with the FBI and things that have come out of it, like Obama signing the executive order allowing the White House to control all private communications, and with the U.S. having more citizens incarcerated, of its own citizens incarcerated, than any other country in the world due to, quote-unquote, the war on drugs, that's why I'm wondering about that part of you, if there's a part of you that goes, you know, this is kind of futile, or these people are, you know, I mean, people are arrested for carrying a joint, for instance. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm not saying we should legalize. I am saying, you know, things like that, when somebody like you goes in as an FBI agent, you know, I just wonder if that's challenging.
Well, you know, I do think, and there are so many alphabet soups when it comes to the federal, whether it's DEA or FBI, ATF, you know, DOJ, sure. Department of Justice, and each one has their finger in the pie.
Yeah.
And Drug Enforcement Administration is the one who really controls whether or not, or just determines policy.
Yes.
But I will say, truthfully, the people who really need to be involved in this is Congress, because
yeah.
we only uphold. When I say we, I'm talking about federal government.
Yeah, I understand.
We don't make up the laws, and so we can only enforce what's on the books. Now, right now, it's a federal. There's a federal law against using marijuana.
Yeah.
The way for that to be handled is to change federal law.
Fully agree with you, and I think that this is part that most people don't understand, is that you have to lobby. You know, there's all these other people lobbying with thousands and millions of dollars, but in fact, if you go to your congressman, they have to listen to you because they're there because of you. And if there's enough of you come together, you can make a difference in anything. And you know, the things around human trafficking as an example, or the war on drugs, or whatever it might be, you know, because for me, is all that money goes to war on drugs that could help all these people, and they just. Anyway.
Absolutely. No, I totally agree. And it does have to be a more of a grassroots
absolutely.
Effort
yeah.
to go. But it these are laws.
Yeah.
And these federal agencies are sort of bound by that.
Yeah.
And I am one who doesn't necessarily think that our immigration policy is the best.
Right.
And so I think that you make an excellent point that the whole way we look at immigration needs to be reevaluated.
Absolutely.
And good for you, and I hope your listeners take that to heart as well.
Well, that's fabulous. With that, we've got to take another break. And we are here with my guest, Lorraine Kwai. Fabulous conversation here. She served with the FBI for 24 years as an undercover agent dealing with espionage and counterintelligence. And her book is called Secrets of a Strong Mind. It's available on Amazon right now. And again, you can find out more about Lorraine by going to www.LaraeQuai.com, LaraeQuai.com. I'll give it to you again towards the end of the show, and we will post it on Radio Dove right there underneath the bio for Lorraine, so you'll be able to get all that information. We're going to be back in two.
Contact Talk Radio has strived to be well-connected. Everything from the internet to your cell phone, and now Twitter. Yes, you too can find Contact Talk Radio on Twitter. Go to twitter.com/CTR Network and get connected to what matters to you.
Don't listen to this. Unless you want more money. People have all kinds of ridiculous ideas about what it takes to achieve vast amounts of wealth and success. Consistently, those ideas are dead wrong. Think about it. What you've been told about creating wealth has likely been from those who did not do not, or ever likely to have it. In his book, Don't Read This, Unless You Want More Money, Dov Barrett collapses your old money myths and shows you how to tap into your unique value, even if you don't know what it is yet. As you turn each page of this book, Dov Barron will walk you through a process that will have them banging down your door to give you money. Don't Read This Unless You Want More Money, Subconscious Tactics of the Truly Affluent, is a guaranteed bestseller you'll want to buy for friends and read over and over again. Go to www.don'treadthisbook.com/money and get your copy today.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Accidental Guru Radio Show. I'm your host. My name is Dov Barron. I'm here with my very special guest. Her name is Lorrae Kwai. She served with the FBI for 24 years as an undercover agent dealing in counterintelligence. And she's the author of the book Secrets of a Strong Mind, available on Kindle. So you can get it there. So make sure you get over there and get all this book. Fascinating lady, fascinating stories. And we're talking about some very powerful, interesting, and I believe politically important subjects here. With all that, let's sort of put all that to the side for a moment. Most of you know that I have a very strong background in psychology, and for me, I don't think that people end up in their careers by accident, whether that's that their career is part of being in, part of a mob, or whether they end up in the FBI, or anything else for that matter. How did your childhood prepare you for your career in the FBI, would you say, Lorrae?
I had a interesting experience when I was about 10, maybe 10 or 11, somewhere in there. And I mentioned before I grew up on a cattle ranch. I don't know if I'd mentioned it was a cattle ranch. But we had several thousand acres and several hundred of head of cattle. And so I rode a lot, horseback.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad was always, and I mentioned earlier, somebody who's authentic and who's sort of a role model for me, isn't it? My dad. But he was a real cowboy. And we were gathering, with some bulls. And my dad wanted to corral and sell a bull. And he said to me, you know, go get that bull over there, that old one, and bring him up to the corral because we're going to load him in a chute. Haul him off and sell him. So I took after him to cut him out. He was with a herd of cattle. And he didn't want to leave. He didn't want to leave the herd of cattle. And so, you know, my horse was a cutting horse. And again, I was about 10 or so. And he, you know, he cut him off. My horse did. He was very good. And the bull really got upset.
Right.
And he turned and he charged my horse. And it was a horned bull, a Hereford. And he knocked my horse in the shoulder.
Right.
Now, he didn't fall over, my horse, but he pivoted on his back legs and reared up and took off. And I just grabbed the saddle horn and held on. Because I knew wherever that horse was going, I was going too. I was not going to get bucked at that point, bucked off. And so we got away, and the bull was upset, but I knew my dad would be even more upset if I didn't show up with that bull because he wanted to sell him. So I thought about it. Man, what am I going to do? And my horse was panicked. The bull was looking at us, and he'd shake his head, you know, so hard. I could see snot, you know, from side to side. And I thought,
don't piss me off again look.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly that was the look. And I just thought, oh, man, I have to handle this. I can't go running back to somebody, my dad, mm-hmm. And there was nobody else around. And I realized I had to do this myself. I was in this pickle, in this situation, there was adversity in front of me. It didn't work out the way I had planned it. And I had to do something, and I thought, you know, okay, I have to face my situation, I have to evaluate my environment, I have to fix it as soon as I can, mm-hmm. and I knew that waiting was only going to make it worse, and I also knew I was the person to do it. So I got off my horse, because I knew the sight of the horse agitated the bull.
Right.
And I also knew that there was a pile of rocks nearby that I could scramble to in case the bull charged me. I could get to the top of those rocks, so there was safety. But I kind of just stood there and looked at him, and I just sort of said, shoo.
He kind of shoo?
Like,
to a
like
bull?
Shoo. To a bull.
This is not a mouse. This is a bull.
It's not a mouse. It's a bull. And I'm just standing there looking at him, and kind of waved my hand, and he shook his head again, and he turned around.
Really?
And started walking slowly with a couple of the cows. And one by one, the cows dropped off until it was just one bull and one cow. And then I found a pile of rocks because I was too little to climb on this big horse by myself. So I had to find another pile of rocks so I could step on them to get on the horse. Because I didn't want my dad to know that I didn't have the courage. Or, you know, I didn't have what it took to go bring that bull in. I wanted him to think I'd cut him out all by myself. So when we got close enough, my dad said, okay, I'll take it from here. And now what happened between that bull and my dad and his horse is another story for a different time. But the thing I learned was I could move beyond the self-limiting belief I had for myself. I could reach down into my boots and get the courage and grab the courage to do what I needed to do. And that incident stuck with me when during some very difficult scenarios, both at the academy and in real life, my first arrest. There were just times when I realized this was up to me.
Yeah.
I had to do it and that I could do it. And sometimes I had to go back to when I was a 10-year-old kid to remember I had what it took to reach down and grab something stronger and bigger and better than just my wobbly knees.
But you see, that to me is one of the greatest points of leadership, is that leadership remains leadership in the face of whatever the circumstance or situation is. Leaders find a way. So to me, that was like, you know, if I was coaching you and speaking of leadership, which I know I don't need to do because that's what you do, you know, I would be saying that, you know, here's a great example of this principle that leaders always find a way, and they're bigger than their circumstances, or they choose to find a way to be bigger than their circumstances, even if they don't feel like they're bigger than their circumstances. Great example. Thank you.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to be able to relive that, because it's been important. It was an important memory in my childhood that really helped me, as I say. And I really believe, you mentioned something earlier about it's no accident the careers we choose. And
no.
Our personalities are so important in the success we find in our careers. And I have found, and all I can do is share what has worked for me.
Mm-hmm.
Going back and remembering those times when it worked.
Right.
When I was able to move out of my fear and those self-limiting beliefs. Or when a plan failed and I had to land on my feet in doing something unexpected. We've all done it and we've all succeeded at doing it. But we forget that we've done it or how we did it.
And so how do you help others apply the lessons, not just that lesson, because I think that's a very important one, but, you know, FBI is a very specific set of training. How do you help other people apply the FBI lessons to their lives, to their leadership?
Well, I believe that there are just certain characteristics that we all need, and no matter what we do or what field we're in, that are important for us to succeed. Or to move forward. And success can be defined in so many different ways. But I'm talking about ways that help people move forward in achieving their goals and being the best person that they can be.
Yeah.
And to me, authenticity is number one. That
right.
is number one. You have to know who you are. Do not be afraid to dig down. Peel back those layers to find out who you are, what your personal values are, what do you want to do. So many people are stuck in situations or careers or jobs where, you know, it's not ideal. And that's reality. They have to make a payment for their house or support their children or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. But we can still all look for a purpose in what we do. And I encourage people to do this. Determination is so important. Resilience, when we get knocked down, to be able to get back up again and bounce back. Having confidence in ourselves.
Right.
That's so important.
Mm-hmm.
These are some of the ways, and these are skills, whether you're, no matter what you do in life, or an FBI agent. These are skills I think everybody needs, and that is what is in the book, talking about, and they're my examples, but hopefully they are examples that people can relate to, and where they can reach back into recent memory or maybe more distant memory and remember how that's worked for them.
You know, I'd really like to get even deeper into that, and I know that you and I could talk for a long time here. It's been really great. I want to just ask you one final question that's maybe a little different, and that is, if you could go back in time and give your younger self, and by that I mean any age, so you could be a kid, you could be 10, you could be whatever, and give your younger self one quick, short piece of advice on how to be a more authentic leader, what would it be?
It would be to go with my heart instead of my mind so much.
Mm-hmm.
I live in my head more than my heart. I think things through rather than feel my way through. And I think most people, or many people, are like that.
Yes.
And if I could give myself one bit of advice, it would be to go with my heart a little bit more rather than thinking it through. I would try to feel my way through a lot of the really major decisions I've made in my life, particularly when it came to my career, because I thought this would be best.
Right.
This would be, you know, the coupon I would need to make a step.
Well,
but I really well wished I had gone with my heart and what I was really passionate about.
Well, fabulous guidance. Well, Lorrae Kwai, ex-FBI counterintelligence agent, leadership expert, and author of Secrets of a Strong Mind, which, of course, as I said, is available on Kindle right now. Please again tell our listeners where they can tap into the resources that you offer.
Yes, it would be my website,
mm-hmm.
which would be www.lorraekwai.com. And there's only one Lorrae Kwai out there. That's the advantage of an unusual name.
I guess
so. But that is where they can go and find my website, find my book, or go to Amazon and put in the Secrets of a Strong Mind or my name, either one, and you'll find me.
Fabulous. Thank you.
You
listen to me, find us on iTunes and on www.radiodov.com. That's RADIODOV.com. Actually, there you can find a link to Lorrae's website and to her book. There you can click on the show info. You can leave your comments and your feedback. And remember to tell your friends to wrap their ears around a big, beautiful signal. Remember, you can find us on Facebook. Simply go search on Facebook for Accidental Guru Community Fan Page. There you'll be able to chat with other listeners and ourselves, and of course my guest. And as I said, right after the show, Lorrae and I will be right there to answer your questions. My thanks go to our entire team here at the Accidental Guru Radio Show, especially my lovely in-studio genius, Bob. And of course, my special thanks go to you, dear listener, for being part of our ever-growing family and a global movement. Keep telling your friends to tune in and get all the authentic leadership solutions. This is Dov Barron, author, speaker, host, and executive producer of the Accidental Guru Show, saying, remember to go share something you learned on our show today with someone else, because when you share it, you learn it at a deeper level. Once again, thank you for tuning in and making my world a little better each week. Thank you for sharing the show with everyone you know. I look forward to meeting you in person at some time in the near future when I speak to your group or organization or corporation. To find out how you can now book me, Dov Barron, to speak at your event on the power of authentic leadership and how to build a culture of leaders that generates fierce loyalty and growth, please call my team, my office, at 778-397-7717. I'll give you that again, 778-397-7717. Or you can visit my website, www.dovbaron.com. That's dovbaron.com. And remember, if you'd like to be a sponsor of the show, same number, do exactly the same thing. Until next time, this is Dov Barron, host of the Accidental Guru Show, saying leadership, authentic leadership, is a choice. Choose to live authentically as a leader. Stay tuned. There is news coming up about our show in the very near future. Stay curious, my friend. Stay curious. And above all, live with courage.
It is my belief that each one of you is unique. There isn't another one of you on the planet. And no one has the right to tell you you're less than magnificent.
You've been listening to The Accidental Guru with Dov Barron. Join us again next week when Dov will be giving you the competitive edge without losing your soul. Same time, same place, same channel. On behalf of Dov Barron, remember, take yourself and life like a shot of tequila. Straight up, live with courage, follow your passion, and stay real.